Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you just got to have that praise and worship to just feel everything you need to feel. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. We got to declare who we belong to. And we belong to the Most High God. We declare that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And as always, it is a great word. And today, our scripture is coming out of the book of Jeremiah. And it just says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. You know, we all have a plead with God. We all ask God for whatever it may be. And sometimes we're pleading for whatever, you know, pleading for someone to stay in this world that is dying or transitioning. Pleading with God to give us the desires of our heart, whatever they may be. We've got to let go and let God. We so many times want to hold on. And not only hold on, but hold on real, real tight. Not understanding. And sometimes you got to let go. You got to let go. Because when you hold on so tight, you leave no room for God. So today, we got to give it, whatever it is, to God. Got to give it to God. Give it to God. You know, we all, every day is something new. Aspirin. Baby aspirin. Take that baby aspirin a day and to prevent heart attacks and strokes. And now the new news is, don't do it. says most adults shouldn't take daily aspirin to prevent heart attacks, panel said. That was on NBC News on yesterday. Adults ages 60 and older were recommended to not begin taking aspirin because the task force found the benefits it brought in preventing heart disease were not enough to offset the risk of causing internal bleeding. Every day, something is different. You know, it was wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated. Take this pill, don't take this pill. And I think that science is one of those things that changes every time the wind blows. But the one thing that never changes, same yesterday, today, and forevermore, is our Father God. And because we know our God does not change, we need to every day thank God for the consistency of his love, guidance, for the hope in the future that comes only from God. So let us get into our word this morning as we pray. Father God in heaven, we lift up this word to you, Father. May this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits. May those that listen, Lord God, get a better understanding of how great and magnificent and wonderful you are. Father God, we bind all spirits that will attach or attack this word, Lord God. We bind them that if they are not of you, they are to be sent right back from whence they came. But we bind anything not like you, oh God, on this day. We bind those spirits. We bind those things that are not good for us. We bind them and send them back through the veil. Temptations. We bind lies. We bind falsehoods. We bind all the things that are not of your commandments. Lord God, we bind the things that are not good or pure, but are evil and are called stumbling blocks. For Lord God, we want to be in our square of light that comes from you, Father God. So, Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart, Father God, that they be acceptable in your holy sight. For, Father God, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. You are my Father. And I am grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be your daughter. I thank you, Father God, for the do-over. May my do-over day be better than yesterday. May I get things done that need to be done. May I follow your command and what you have asked me to do. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I look up, lift up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah praise. Amen, amen, in the name of Christ Jesus. I was watching, I just happened to turn on the television on, I believe it was yesterday, and all of a sudden I hear some go, hallelujah, hallelujah this, and then it was hallelujah, and then it was just like going through a hallelujah praise. And I look up. And it was either for some soft drink or some kind of food item. I was insulted. The highest praise you give to a soda or some food item. I was undone. Totally undone. And I am going to find out what the brand was because it just took me by surprise. And I'm thinking, oh, they're having hallelujah praise on TV. Because I didn't see it. I just heard it. And then it says, and something, I don't even remember the name of the product, makes you want to praise or some kind of craziness. I was undone. We got to watch as well as pray. Because the enemy is doing his best to make our faith what it is, reverent. So pray, family, pray, and then pray a little bit more, because I'm going to tell you, prayer does change things. Prayer gives us hope in the future, and we just have to trust God that everything will work for our good. So So let's get into the word this morning. And it is, what do we say? It is a great word. It is a great word today. And we are coming out of Jeremiah chapter 11 and chapter 12 to verse 17. And I can say, wow. Wow is all I can say. Because it deals with righteousness. It deals with so many different things. You know, and sometimes God will close ears to our pleas because we've done and not listened. You got to listen. Listen, listen, and listen some more. Because life is too short to keep messing up. And I'm not speaking to you, I'm talking to myself. You know, it's time to clean up and do better. And that's all we can say. We got to clean up and do better. And so the word of God says this morning, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, hear the words of this covenant and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and say to them, thus is the Lord God of Israel. Cursed. Now I want y'all to hear this. Cursed is the man who does not obey the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day. I brought them out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do according to all that I command you. So shall you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may establish the oath which I have sworn to your fathers to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. And I answered and said, so be it, Lord. Then the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judea and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them, for I earnestly exhort your fathers in the day I brought them up out of the land of Egypt until this day, rising early and exhorting, saying, obey my voice. God is wanting us to obey his voice, but we got to distinguish the voice of God from the voice of the enemy. And I can tell you, he's cunning. Or have you all messed up thinking you're doing what thus says the Lord when in fact you're not, because you're not using common sense. And when common sense is not involved, it's not the voice of God. If God got you stumbling and fumbling and making a mess of your life, that's not God. God just gives us hope in the future. God is not a stumbling block unless he puts a stumbling block in front of you to keep you from making mistakes. God is wanting us to be better and do better and live better. But he is in charge of everything. Trust in God, family. Let him work in your life. Let him work in your life and ask him what to do, because we get all confused, and it's like, okay, God, I don't know what to do. So walk in righteousness. And it goes on to say, yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but everyone followed the dictates of his evil heart. Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but which they have not done. And the Lord said to me, a conspiracy has been found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who refused to hear my words. And they have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them which they will not be able to escape. And though they cry out to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. To the number of your cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, you have set up altars to that shameful thing, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people or lift up a cry of prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. What has my beloved to do in my house, having done lewd deeds with many? And holy flesh has passed from you. When you do evil, then you rejoice. The Lord called your name green olive tree, lovely and of good fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire on it, and its branches are broken. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced doom against you for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense to Baal. Idolatry. Thou shalt have no other god before me, is what the Lord said. Israel forgot. Judah forgot. We gotta stop idolizing everything but God. You have Christians who idolize men over God. Not going to church for the word, going to church for the man. Going to church for the woman. But most of the time it's for the man. Because most don't believe women should be preachers or teachers or anything in the church, that they need to sit and be quiet. But they follow after men, politicians, cult leaders. All those things that God has said not to do, we do. Cover the spirit, prosperity message. I need a new car. I need a new yacht. I need a new plane. The widow and the children in the churches. Not helping the lost souls, but telling them that they're not any good because they're not prospering. So they must not be trusted in the God that these mega this and that, because it's not about your soul, it's about what you got. It's just like offering incense to Baal. And now the word of God says, now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. But I was like a docile lamb brought to the slaughter, and I did not know that they had devised schemes against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. But, O God of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For you I have revealed my cause. He took it to the throne. Not to the phone. And we know they didn't have phones in Jeremiah's time. So understand, I'm speaking for today. The prophet took it to the throne. He didn't go down the street and tell Boo Boo and them, hey, this is what, no. But he was told, you got to go and tell this. He's like, I'm young. I'm a youth. And he's like, uh-uh. God will use children to tell you some things. Because sometimes children see more than we do. children sometimes see darkness and over people and spirits that we don't see. And I always say children are closer to God. And they see past the surface of things. When you see a child recoil from somebody, take a quick look. Look at their soul. When the child recoils and they say, they don't want to go near someone, don't force it. Do not force them to go and hug sister such and such, auntie this and that, uncle whomever. Because if they recoil and cry and won't go near them, then don't force it. Because something is going on in that person's spirit that that child sees. And you don't want just anything attaching itself to your children. Wonder why your baby all of a sudden is acting up when they've been good and sweet and kind, and then all of a sudden they done lost their mind. Better understand. It's because of something that is trying to attach itself to your child. Spirits are there, and folks like, oh, God, she's talking about crazy stuff. Mm-mm. I watched spiritual warfare, and it is nothing to play with. And we got to work. We got to call on the name of the Lord. And this is what Jeremiah says. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth, who seek your life, saying, do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, lest you die by our hand. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring catastrophe on the men of Anathoth, even the year of their punishment. Don't mess with God's anointed. Don't mess with God's anointed. Don't talk over and talk about and put your mouth on God's prophet. I'm telling you, touch not thou anointed. They mouth on people when they don't know their calling. You can put a curse on yourself because you're not saying what you need to say. God loves us, but he wants us to listen and to hear what he has to say. And this is our word for this morning, coming out of chapter 12. But we're going to go back and look at a life lesson from Dr. Charles Stanley. And for those that are getting involved in just knowing about this ministry, what we do is our goal and our assignment is to read the word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. I am always looking for someone who would like to read. If you are one of those people, DM me on Twitter at Minister B Talks Word, and we can talk. It is so important that we get the word of God out and that we read it, we study it, we let it permeate and marinate in our spirit. And I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And that is the Bible for this year. And if God gives it to me, it'll be a Bible for next year. I do not know. But he hasn't told me yet. I believe it will be this Tony Evans Study Bible, which may take us a little longer to get to. It may take us more than a year because it's written a little bit different than this Charles Stanley Bible. So I don't know. We're going to trust God and he'll guide us and lead us in the way to do it. But the word is moving forward. We are moving forward in the word of God. And the life lessons, and I love Dr. Stanley because he gives us life lessons. He gives us questions. He gives us principles. He breaks it down that the word permeates for you. And it says this in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 14. I will not hear them in the time that they cry out to me because of their trouble. And it says, God banned Jeremiah from praying for the welfare of his rebellious people. They had gone so far down a road of destruction that it had become too late for them, a time known to God alone. And we're going to go over really quick to 1 John chapter 5, verse 16. Again, 1 John, chapter 5, and we're going to go to verse 16. And it says, if anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask, and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin, that doesn't lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I am not saying he should pray about that. And then I'm just going to go over verse 17. It says, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin that doesn't lead to death. And if we go back up to verse 14, the title of this section is Effect We Have Before Him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he knows that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. And we know that scripture. That's one of those scriptures. But this is coming out of the Holman's Bible. And I'm going to read that one more time. That whole section. It says, this is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. If anyone sees a fellow believer committing a sin that doesn't lead to death, he should ask and God will give life to him. To those who commit sin, that doesn't lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I am not saying he should pray about that. Unrighteousness is sin. And there is sin that doesn't lead to death. And when we conclude, it says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not sin, but the one who is born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know the true one. We are in the true one. That is his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. You have to be careful. Of idolatry. That is a humongous sin to God. This is what the word says. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgment. This is Jeremiah. He's pleading to God. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? He has planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Bam. The prophet is speaking this morning. But you, O Lord, know me. You have seen me, and you have tested my heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long will the land mourn? And the herbs of every field wither. The beasts and birds are consumed for the wickedness of those who dwell there, because they said, he will not see our final end. If you have run with the footmen and they have worried you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they worried you, then how will you do in the floodplains of the Jordan? But even your brothers, the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, they have called a multitude after you. Do not believe them, even though they speak smooth words to you. I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of our enemies. My heritage is to me like a lion in the forest. It cries out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. My heritage is to me like a speckled vulture. The vultures all around are against her. Some assemble all the beasts of the field, bring them to devour. Many rulers have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate. Desolate is to, it mourns to me. The whole land is made desolate because no one takes it to heart. The plunderers have come on all the desolate heights in the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat but reaped thorns. They have put themselves to pain but do not profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord against all my evil neighbors who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Then it shall be after I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back, everyone to his heritage and everyone to his land. And it shall be if they will learn carefully the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, as they taught my people to swear, then they shall be established in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. The prophet has spoken this morning. And a life lesson from Jeremiah 12 and 5, if you have run with the footmen and they have worried you, then how can you contend with horses? God encourages us, but he also challenges us. He speaks soft words to us when we need them, but he speaks harder words to us when we need them. He always gives us exactly what we need. What did our word in 1 John chapter 5 say? This is the confidence we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will, not ours, to his will. So many times we pray and pray and pray, but we're not praying God's will, we're praying our own. When we need to say, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will, not ours. And God's will is not always our will. I can attest to that. I can attest to that, and I know it. Are you in the will of God? Are you doing your own thing? God is asking us his will, to trust in him, to lean not to our own understanding, but to in all things, not just some things, but in all things acknowledge him. Because it is God that directs our path. It is God that keeps us in our light and square. It is God that keeps us from the darkness of the evil one. It is God. And when we trust in him, everything eventually will fall into place. But you've got to do your part. You can't say, oh, Lord, I need a clean house, and you don't get up and clean. Oh, Lord, oh, my dishes need to be washed, and you don't wash the dishes. Go to work. Again, I may not be speaking to any of y'all, I'm speaking to me. Got to go to work. Got to do what thus says the Lord. And then watch everything else fall into place. But you cannot be just talking the talk and not working the work and doing and walking the walk. It's time to go to work. Jeremiah has spoken this morning. And the word says, but if they do not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. We got to pray. prayer of power. We don't want to go to prayer service. Oh, no, I ain't got time for all that. That's just too much, church. But it's prayer service that changes your life. It's prayer service that gives you redemption. It's prayer service that plucks out that small seed that's got you all messed up. Because it's attached itself to you. We got to pray and pray and pray some more. Because God is in charge of everything. And when we realize that God is in charge, everything else will fall into place. Psalms chapter, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. They surrounded me like these. They were quenched like a fire thorn. But in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being my strength and my song and my salvation. Proverbs 27:8, like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. We each have an assignment. Are you doing your assignment? Are you righteous? Plead with you. We got to ask God, Lord, what is my assignment? What do I need to do? How do I need to do it? How do I need to get from point A to point B? Father God, guide me and lead me. I am confused. And I feel like I'm above my head. And God will guide you, and he will give you a life jacket. All you got to do is ask for it. You don't have to drown. Because he will send you a lifeline. Colossians, masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Hallelujah. You know you're on point when the enemy cuts you off. Hallelujah. I'm claiming it. I just got cut off, knocked out. But you know what? I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. As we were about to say again, and I thank God for his word, and I thank God for you continuing to listen in. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Good morning, good morning. I'm back. Hallelujah. Whatever this word is, the devil is mad, 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 mad. I have been knocked out twice now out of the studio, and I thank all of you that are continuing to listen and not getting frustrated like, where is the host? Well, the host is just getting knocked out of a studio as the devil is hot and mad because the word of God is going to go forth. And again, I say the word of God, walk in wisdom for those who are outside redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting more excited about this word because obviously it is something that the enemy don't want us to hear, but we're going to keep moving forward. Tychias, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your heart with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. Articus, my preach you, with Mark, the cousin of Ernabas, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet your brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphaeus and the church that is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salvation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. But the word that the enemy didn't want to hear is let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And to get into some life lessons before we're out of here. And it says this in Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Unbelievers are watching us. I'm telling you this. Unbelievers are watching us, whether we know it or not. We never know when it might be the Lord's timing for one of them to ask us about heaven, eternal life, or God. Therefore, we must always be ready. We got to be ready in season and out. Be ready, as my pastor says and as the word says, be ready in season and out. We got to be ready. But the one thing that we must remember, and this is a highlightable, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you answer each other. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. God is listening. God is hearing. God knows our heart. Walk in wisdom, family, toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. God is watching. God is giving us everything we need to speak with grace, seasoned with salt. We got to know what we're saying and why we're saying it. And this is another word. And it says this in Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Why, at this point, Demas is Paul's faithful companion. Sometime later, he would turn his back on his apocalyptic friend because he loved the present world. And we're going to go over really quick to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse number 10. And it says this, final instructions. And it says, make every effort to come to me soon, because Demas has deserted me, since he loved this present world and has gone. To Thessalonica, Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. Now, you know, he's like, hey, he chose the world over me, over the work that we are doing. And it says this, finishing well does not happen by accident. You know, folks will, you think somebody's your A, and you will find out they're not. They're your B, or they're your C, or they're your D, or even your E and F. They're not there when you need them. They disappear when you need them. and Demas was not Paul Bass. Luke was. And Mark was. But Demas wasn't. And as we continue, Colossians 4:17, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord that you may fulfill it. Each of us has some special work or ministry to which the Lord has assigned us. So what has God called you? Do you know the particular mission he has carved out for you? How are you working to fulfill it? Even when you get knocked off, do you give up? Or do you keep calling back in? Do you keep getting back into the studio and you keep going? Because you know that it's just a test and that you got to still go to work and finish the job that you have been assigned to do. So you got to bind those spirits that attach and attack in the name of Jesus and call on his name, Jesus, and ask God, God, show me what to do, how to do it, that I may finish my assignment. John Mark, learning to end well, Colossians 4:10. John Mark had gotten off to a great start. He accompanied Barnabas and Paul on an exciting missionary journey and saw God do amazing things. For whatever reason, however, he left them in the middle of their work, and Paul refused to team up with the young men again. Paul was like, nope, I'm done. I'm done with them. And we know we all ourselves, we go through them parts and times where there are just people that you don't want to even work with anymore because they don't come through. You know, they have an assignment and the assignment don't get done. You know, and you're trying to get your work done and they haven't done what they need to do. And I say, let us not be that person. Let us be the one that completes our assignment. If you're asked to teach, don't come on the day that you're supposed to teach and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to work on that message. So I'm not going to be able to teach today. Or, oh, you're told that you need to have an assignment ready, and you just blow it off because you're going to the party. Your girlfriends call you and say they wanted to go out for dinner, and then the next thing, dinner turned into the club, and the next thing is 2 in the morning, and you haven't done what you need to do. Even in school, we all know how it used to go in college, you know, where you're in college and your sorority or your frat or somebody that you know is having a party and your friends talk you into going to the party when you know you need to study. And then you wonder why you didn't do well on the test. Why you didn't do well in school or you didn't do what you were supposed to do. We got to finish our assignments. And this is what it says. Now when Paul and his party set sail for Paphia, they came to Perga in Paralia, and John departed from them to return to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue said to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any words of exhortation for the people, say so. So Paul left them in Paphia. Like, I'm out. And then when we go over to Acts chapter 15, you know, Paul is like, I'm finished with him. We got work to do. And he's out. He's out on his way back to Jerusalem. You know, because some folks want to be in the in crowd. Because in Jerusalem was James and John and Peter and all the prophets that had walked, the apostles that had walked with Jesus. This is what it says. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contentions became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went to Syria and Cilicia, or Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He's like, I'm not dealing with them. It costs confusion. Mark's departure caused confusion with Paul and Barnabas. And it goes on to say Paul's dated opinion, Mark eventually changed, however. And we just read that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. We just read that in verse 10 where it says, Articus and my fellow prisoners greet you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Wow. Changed his tune. Mark went on to minister once more with Barnabas, his cousin, and eventually wrote the Gospel of Mark. He accepted the challenge of ministry, difficulties and all, and ended up a winner. Many believers fail to end well because they mistakenly think that God's call to personal ministry depends on their skill level. None of us are adequate in ourselves any more than any of us can save ourselves. Throughout our lives, we must glorify God, and that means depending on him from beginning to end. And I thank you all for staying with me this morning, even when I got kicked out of my studio and could not continue. I had to come back in. You know what? Just like Mark, we may get kicked out. We may not be able to be used by those that we want to be used by. But in the end, God always has the final say. And the final say this morning is, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. And I say, Lord, I'm not finished. I need to finish this word. And God opens doors and opens lines. So thanking God this morning for all of you who hung in there and didn't hang up or tune out, say, oh, it's done. No, it wasn't. But God, thanking God again. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ. Good morning. If God doesn't give you what you want, it isn't what you need. Have a Wait on God Wednesday, family, and that is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours again. Thank you for staying with me and not tuning out, because I came back. Hallelujah. Hopefully, like Mark, strong to the end. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. This time it is for real. Have a great day.